Good morning, everybody. It is Saturday, April the 6th, 2019, and this is Dan in Little Saigon neighborhood of Seattle. And this is another Little Saigon report. This one may not be long because this one is fueled mostly by anger. And it's not an anger towards any real person. It's just a general kind of angst. Before I go into that, I need to mention something. One of my uncles died in the last couple days, and it's tough when people die. He wasn't young. He was, I think, I have to say, I don't know his precise age, but I think he was up in the 80s, probably around 90, but he was pretty old. And I haven't really seen him in a long time. I think the last time I saw him was 2016, and I can't truly say I've ever had a super close relationship with him. I really haven't. There were a few times when I was younger where I would go to lunch with him every once in a while, but I truly can't say I had a super close relationship. But he was a good, hardworking man. He raised a family. I think by the traditional standards of America, he did everything right, so to speak. He was dying of dementia towards the end. That's something I think worth noting, because as sad as it is that he's gone, and it is sad, it was also sad to see him slowly die. So, and in part because he was a really brilliant person, pretty smart guy. I don't want to go further than that, but he was a smart guy. And to see an intelligent person slowly die of dementia, it's kind of depressing. It's difficult, and it is a slow-motion death. And isn't it interesting that there are a lot of these slow-motion deaths these days? A lot of these deaths that take decades, that consume the lives of many people. I don't know if you recall, if you're a listener, my podcast about leaving wounded on the battlefield, but dementia, like autism, and I would argue cancer and a few other illnesses, they really do impact a lot of people's lives. It obviously, the person suffering from the illness is impacted, but an entire group of people gets impacted. And it isn't just for days or weeks. It can be for months and years. So it's sad that my uncle's gone. And, you know, I'll be saying prayers for him tomorrow at church. But I'm also glad that his suffering is over. You know, that he is in heaven with my father, that he is in heaven with my mom, that he is in heaven with my sister Nancy, and with other people that we've lost. So it's sad that he is dead, but it is also, I'm also happy in a way, because his suffering is over. I don't want to go further than that, because I try not to bring too much of my family stuff beyond the scope of my personal life into this. It's one of those things where it's hard to respect boundaries. You know, if you're going to talk about personal stuff, family stuff comes up. But yeah, he was a pretty good guy, and I'll leave it there. I was conversing via, you know, instant messaging and other types of internet technology this morning with a person I interact with online, a pretty cool dude, I won't say more than that, decent man, also a father, decent dad, you know, trying to do the right things in America. Doing the right things in America, you know, you can always guarantee you'll be punished for that. And we started talking about personal debt. And it was one of those situations where when the topic of debt is a hard one for me, because there was this window, and it was back in 2016, where I could see myself as being debt free. There was this time in 2016 where pretty much the only debt I had was my student loan debt. And there was that brief window where I could imagine being completely debt free. I had money in savings. I really could envision that. And then one thing after another, in part involving the whole quote unquote Goat King incident, which I don't want to say too much about that because that was a scary experience involving some pretty interesting people. And it also involved a lot of financial rape. And then when I got back from the Goat King incident in 2016, one of my really good Hoosier hospitality friends had ripped me off for several thousand dollars more. I don't know what to tell you. You know, I clearly made some really stupid decisions in 2016. One of my dumbest fucking decisions of 2016 was allowing any optimism at all about the current system. I can be optimistic about things that have a chance. I can be optimistic about a social relationship involving freedom and dignity. There is nothing optimistic about the current American political system. Nothing. There is nothing optimistic about our current economic relationships. It is one scam, one racket, one form of victimization piled on another. And it is not free enterprise. It might be socialism exclusively for the rich, which, you know, aka also called feudalism. It might very well be feudalism, but it sure as shit is not free enterprise. So when people come back and say, well, Dan, you know, you don't like free enterprise, listen, you stupid fuck. You need to take the pie chart of the U.S. economy, and you need to carve out a slice for the military-industrial complex, and then you need to carve out a slice for the security complex that involves police and the war on drugs and the war on terror and every fucking camera you see. You need to cut out a slice for all the crony, healthcare, industrial, big pharma complex shit. And when you get done cutting out slices of that pie chart for all the crony, racket-filled bullshit, you'll find that maybe there's a tiny slice with a label of, I don't know, 10 or 15% on it. After you get rid of all the banking bullshit and the financialization, maybe you'd find 10 to 15% you could call free enterprise. Maybe. But I really don't. I think that's bullshit, too. So if your retort is, Dan, you don't like free enterprise, I'd say, fuck you, read a book. Read some Bastiat. You probably think broken windows help the economy improve, you stupid fuck. You probably think a hurricane or an earthquake or a 1.5 megaton nuclear bomb going off in a city will help the economy. You're a stupid, evil fuck if you think our society has free enterprise. That's what I honestly feel this morning. I between student loan debt and all the fucking debt I piled up in 2016, I am probably about $80,000 to $90,000 in debt. I don't know the exact number because I don't care to know. I stopped paying those bills months and months and months ago. And it wasn't so much out of, you know, simply rejecting the system. It was a mere financial fact that I was almost homeless, or pretty much bouncing between being homeless and not homeless, and I didn't have any fucking money. There is nothing after 2016, after all the stupid optimism towards a system that is broken, that is irreparably damaged, that will never fix itself. After 2016, I have nothing left. There is nothing. You know, if I start working again here next week, assuming I'm not getting my chain yanked, and boy, that's a big fucking if. Yeah, sure, they could come and garnish my wages. Then I'll hire a lawyer. Then I'll go officially bankrupt. Then if I do give any money to anybody, I'll give it to the fucking scum-sucking lawyer to suck on the fucking blood of the scum-sucking giant crocodile called government. Fuck the both of them. I'd rather give a few $100 a month, $1,000 a month to a fucking lawyer than pay the feds another fucking dime than I have to. They already suck my blood dry. Anywhere I work, they're going to take money out of my check. Any purchase I make, any involvement in the economy, they'll take their cut. And then they're simply going to print money anyways. So why the fuck would I care about these people? Fear and guilt. Fear and guilt. And you know, it's funny because until this morning, I really thought I was over both of those. But I think turning in my tax returns, my tax return last month was really bad mojo, really bad for me to do. Sure, I needed money. I needed to pay rent. I didn't want to end up homeless. But I knew deep down exactly what would happen. I would turn in the fucking tax return. I'd give them my fucking bank account numbers. And then voila. You know, I would get a message, yeah, you get this much money back, Dan, and oh, by the way, the student loan companies are going to get it. Well, fuck you and fuck them. If I take all the money I've paid in taxes since my first job when I was 11 up until today, and I balance that number against what I supposedly owe the man, whether we call the man corporate financialization or the man the feds, really it's the same guy now, they would owe me money. Okay, I'm never going to see Social Security. Are you fucking stupid? Listen, I will say this definitively. Show me what I'm supposedly going to get in Social Security. I will take 20% of that amount today. And they can keep the rest. That's how much faith I have. And you know something? If you offered that deal, and I've said this before in previous podcasts, but if you offered the deal of saying you can have your Social Security in the future or you can get 20% of its estimated value today, I would venture to say that most Americans would take the 20%. And frankly speaking, whatever was driving that decision, that would be more intelligent than waiting 10 or 15 or 20 or 30 or 40 or 50 years in the hope that the crocodile is going to shit out some fucking paper and hand it to you and say, here you go, buddy, go get your fucking cup of coffee. Now, your retort might be, as a good little statist, as a good little voter, that Dan, they'll take everything you have. What the fuck do I have? I'm almost 50 years old. All my shit could fit into two or three bags. Okay? I'm bottom balancing between homelessness and barely having a place to live. What the fuck can they take from me? And then you can say, well, Dan, they might throw you in prison. Really? How the fuck is that different from my little fucking 5x10 cell right now? Yeah, probably a lot worse, but still better than being homeless from what I can tell, you stupid fuck. I mean, unless you enjoy the street bunnies, unless you enjoy the filth, unless you enjoy, you know, being raped by some random dude in the bushes someplace who has Hep C or Hep G or fucking herpes simplex 21, unless you enjoy the shittiness of the scumminess of the streets of Seattle, which, oh, by the way, as someone who isn't actually homeless yet, I don't, seems to me if you got a roof over your head and you're getting some meals and you can avoid dropping the soap in the fucking shower, you're probably doing better than most of the homeless people I see. So yeah, they could throw me in fucking jail. And then you could say, well, damn, they could kill you. I'm almost 50 fucking years old. A month and a half ago, if you told me that, I would say, God bless you, you stupid fuck. They could kill me? That means I don't have to commit suicide. That means I don't have to commit a grievous sin. They could kill me. That would almost be a blessing, you fuck. Yeah, they could kill me. And then you could say, well, damn, they could torture you. Holy fuck. The stupidity keeps boiling to the surface. Torture me? You listen to my podcast, right? I mean, you're not stupid. I hope you're not stupid. I hope that you understand my words. Torture me. How much more torture is there? The physical torture? I know enough about human physiology, the aging process, and being out of shape to know the following. Unless they got a lot of money to spend on the torture, I would go into shock in the first 5 minutes, you stupid fuck. And then I'd blink out of existence. And that goes into the category of murder anyways, at this age. So really, they're going to torture me, you fuck? Let them. There is nothing that I have left that they can take that they care about. They can't take my soul. My soul's been given to Jesus. They can't take my mind. My mind is still mine to the extent that they haven't polluted it with aluminum, with barium, with a shit falling from the sky. And to the extent that I can exercise my fucking freedom still, to the extent that I can still raise my voice, they can't take that. I mean, yeah, they've done a pretty good job of cracking down on free speech in the land of the free, but hey, you know, consistency, right? Why be consistent? No, there are things they can take from me that I don't give a shit about. I don't give a shit about stuff. If most of the stuff that I would accrue in a racket-filled, criminal-driven, criminal-riddled society would be based upon my ability to victimize my neighbor, I don't want a goddamn thing. If becoming rich means I fuck my neighbor, I don't want one more fucking dollar. That's the truth. I have people in my life that love me, and you know something? That's a good thing. And I have people that care for me, and they would prefer I not be dead or tortured or homeless. And God bless them. And I have people in my life who have been generous, and God bless them too. But if you believe, if you truly, truly believe that I should be afraid of the government, well, I'm going to tell you something. I'm not afraid of the government. I'm afraid of God. Okay? I have common fucking sense. The government, for all of its power, is basically a giant crocodile filled with tumors. It is a giant drunk crocodile. It is a big, stupid beast. For all of its ability to kill and threaten, that's exactly and precisely what it is. I fear the government in the same way I would avoid jumping into the tiger cage at the zoo. I will not be jumping into the tiger cage at the zoo. I will not be swimming with saltwater crocodiles in the outback of Australia. And yes, I will not pick a fight with the government, but if the government comes to my fucking door and threatens me, fuck them. Fuck them. I don't give a fuck. There is nothing that they value that I have. I have nothing. And the only thing the giant, monstrous, evil crocodile cares about is more shit to feed it. I have nothing to feed it. It doesn't care about spirituality. I could feed it with that. It doesn't want that. It doesn't really care about goodness. I could feed it with that. It doesn't want that. What it wants is to steal your money, to eat your babies, sometimes to kill you. These are all things that are terrible, but these are things I don't have. I don't have a baby. And if it wants to come and kill me, it can do that any fucking time. So as far as debt goes, as far as owing the system money, I don't give a fuck. I feel no guilt over it, and I try not to feel fear. But I think turning in my tax return last month was a really stupid move for me as an anarchist. Really fucking stupid move. It was a desperate move. It was a desire to not be homeless. But in a lot of ways, it was a stupid, stupid, stupid fucking move. That's how I feel about owing the government anything, owing the student loan companies anything, owing the banks anything. They can go fuck themselves. If they want to garnish my wages to the point that I'm unable to survive, guess what? I won't be working that job very long because I'll be homeless, you stupid fuck. And listen, if the government's literally that stupid that they would garnish my wages to the point that I couldn't afford to live, then yeah, I will end up completely off the radar, probably a good thing for me, the push I need, and the government will have one less person to victimize. But again, I still fucking win. And if I can live according to principle and not fuck my neighbor, which in our current economic situation is difficult to do, to actually have a job and not fuck your neighbor, but if I can somehow survive without fucking my neighbor, without screwing my neighbor, then I would prefer to be poor and basically do that than to be rich and have a pile of corpses someplace I don't have to think about, but yeah, I'm partially responsible for. Those are my thoughts on this Saturday morning about the government and student loan debt and debt generally. And finally this, why would anybody after 2008 have any opinion about people not paying their student loans? We paid off the debts of the richest, scummiest, shittiest people that have ever lived. People that, yeah, didn't just screw their neighbors, they screwed everybody. And we paid off their debts because we said they were too big to fail. What kind of bullshit is that? So no, I don't care. It does make me angry, obviously. I don't feel any guilt about it, but I sure as shit felt a little bit of fear this morning because I really would prefer not to be homeless. If we're getting right down to the nub of where my fear is currently at, I don't want to be homeless in Seattle. Homeless in Seattle is about one of the shittiest situations you can find yourself in. Have a great fucking day.